You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each and every week, we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained while we break everything down, the latest news and analysis about the Montreal Canadiens. Welcome. We are so glad that you are here. If this is your first time here, my name is Amy Johnson. I will be your host for today's show. This is actually episode 379 of the Canadiens Connection podcast, titled Defending as a Team, the Montreal Canadiens Evolving Identity. And there's some interesting things that have taken place this week. Some of them a little surprising, some of them maybe a little predictable, but there are kind of recurring themes around a lot of the decisions and moves that have been made this week that we're going to talk about here in just a bit. But to do that, first we have to bring in and welcome my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports, Mr. Rick Stevens. And I guess in addition to asking how you are today, I will say to you and everyone else, Merry Christmas, because this is our Christmas show.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to the Montreal Canadiens, and Merry Christmas to our Rocket Sports community out there who listen to this podcast every week. How did Christmas creep up so fast?
Don't even get me started.
I saw the photos from the Canadiens, the players visiting the children's hospitals in Montreal, as they do every year, something that Jean Béliveau started. And I thought, my goodness, that means Christmas
that time
is around.
Yeah. It's. I need another month, please.
I should say, in those pictures, I'm not sure I've seen this done before, but Alex Carrier had the kids sign his jersey, which I thought was a fabulous idea.
That's a really nice idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes them feel important.
Of course, yeah.
I like that. I mean, it's one thing for them to get stuff signed by the players, but
which they appreciate, but going the one step further.
Yeah. What, when you mean a Canadian wants my autograph?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, great.
I like that.
Really well done, Alex Carrier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have a lot to cover today. Here is what you can expect on today's show. In our first segment, we're going to get you caught up on all of the latest news from this past week. And really, there's a lot of it to review. We've got four games that the Canadiens played between our last episode and now that we're going to briefly kind of recap and give you the highlights or lowlights from. Rick has selected his three stars for the week. We'll lay those out for you. And then get you caught up on the roster news. And that's where, things get really interesting in the roster news segment. Lots happening fast and furious the past 24 hours or so for the Canadiens. And so we'll get you caught up with all of those items. Make sure that you're all set and as current as you possibly can be. All of that, of course, before we check in on the Habs prospects playing in the CHL, playing in the NCAA, playing for the Laval Rocket, things like that. We've got some news for you there. And then just some general notes from around the NHL. All of that in our first segment. Then that brings us to our big topic, which is what happens in segment two. The Canadiens turn their attention to improving the team defense. And I think it's high time they did that. Because the defense has not been good so far.
And we're talking about team defense.
Right.
So forwards, defense, goaltending, coaching, the whole bit.
Yeah. Lots to analyze there. And some moves that were made this week play right into that. That'll be a very, very interesting segment coming up in segment two. And then finally, in our final segment, segment three, it's when we let you have your say. We give you our Canadiens Connection question of the week that we want to hear your answers to. At the same time, we then bring you the best of the best responses that we got from some of our listeners and viewers to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. We read what they submitted. We kind of give our thoughts on what they have to say. And we encourage you to do the same, whether it's in response to something that you hear another fan has mentioned, or if you just want to answer the Canadiens Connection question of the week or have a question or comment of something else. The way to interact with us here on the show is the Rocket Sports text line. Send us a text at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. You can leave a comment on our YouTube channel. You can leave a comment on Spotify. Or you can hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. And if you are looking to leave a message, a comment on our YouTube channel, you can find that over at InsideTheCanadians.com. All right, let's first recap the game action for the Montreal Canadiens over the last week, going all the way back to last Saturday night when the Canadiens found themselves at Madison Square Garden. Jacob Fowler getting his second start on the big stage at MSG in Manhattan. To their credit, the Canadiens played decently in front of him. Fowler also doing some things good, some things we're gonna talk about in a little bit. But I think what was encouraging here is that the offense was working. Montreal got a point out of this. Losing to the New York Rangers in overtime 5-4.
Yeah, this was a hugely disappointing game for fans, for the Canadiens, for Marty St. Louis. I think Fowler played really well. Mm-hmm. He was let down by his team. Canadiens break out to a 3-0 lead. Zach Bolduc, Jake Evans, and Arber Xhekaj getting his first goal of the season. And then it was just the Canadiens were awful after that. It was a brutal game for Mike Matheson.
Yes.
He was on the ice for 3 of the 5 New York Ranger goals, including that game winner in overtime that happened to be on the power play. Fowler giving up 2 goals, but that was more, it was while the Canadiens were shorthanded. Mm-hmm. So it was more put that on the penalty kill rather than Fowler himself. Rather than me explaining it, let me pull the quote from Marty St. Louis about the Habs overtime loss to the Rangers. He says, quote, "It was 3-0 for Montreal. The other team didn't have any life of that at that point. Then we started making stupid mistakes, and we gave them life. That's the story of the game." End of quote. So if that's Marty's story, I'll agree with it 100%.
You mean he didn't have to check the tape?
No, he knew right after the game how that they were making stupid mistakes.
Well, I'll take that. So the very next night, Sunday night, back-to-back starts, Dobesh getting the start on this night. So we were starting to see this, okay, Sam Montembeau not getting the starts, going with the young guys. Like to see Dobesh back in net at home playing Edmonton, you know, that team that Connor McDavid plays for that Leon Draisaitl plays for. Montreal coming out with a big 4-1 victory over the Edmonton Oilers on home ice. This was a pretty spectacular game for the Canadiens.
Game of special teams. Three power play goals scored in this game. Two for Montreal from Demidov and Suzuki, and one from Edmonton, Zach Hyman. Canadiens fans would love to see him in Montreal. Don't think it's going to happen now, though. And that relates to our other news. Jakub Dobyš was fabulous in net. 27 mm-hmm. saves, .964 save percentage. Especially a 2-minute 5-on-3 penalty kill for the full 2 minutes. Two Canadiens in the box against the Edmonton Oilers. Some really big saves by Dobyš, and the penalty kill was good in this. Marty St. Louis, you know what he said about the previous game, stupid mistakes. This game, he said, quote, from start to finish, I think that was our best game of the season, end quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take that. More of that, please. Well, the homestand continued on Tuesday night when the Philadelphia Flyers came to town. Now, this was, it's exciting to see the good things that the Canadiens are doing. It's frustrating when they fall into some bad habits or, you know, do things that could definitely use some work. And this time, unlike the previous two games, the offense could not get going. Only one goal for Montreal in this one against Dan Vladar. But Philadelphia coming out with a 4-1 victory in the Bell Center.
Good start. Alex Texier getting his third goal to open the scoring, but then it was all Philadelphia. Tough night here for Alex Carrier. I just complimented him earlier, but mm-hmm. he was on the ice for three of the Flyers' four goals in this one. There was one goal in particular that Jacob Fowler took responsibility for. I think he was a little bit hard on himself. It was just a miscommunication where he was behind the net. Michkov kind of caught him. His teammates should have alerted him to that. Young goaltender, he said on about his turnover, he said, quote, I'm going to learn from it. I haven't given up many of those in my career. Hopefully that's the last one. And learn from it, get back on the ice tomorrow and move forward, end quote. And that's okay. He's a young goaltender.
Yeah, he's got to learn.
He made that mistake or the team, he and his teammates made that mistake. He will learn from it, and he probably won't make it again. That's kind of in stark contrast to what was happening in the goaltending department when Sam Montembeau was in that, you know, long distance shots beating him then not learning from it. Mm-hmm. It. The same would happen this next night in the next game and the next start. So I think this is okay. From Marty's point of view, the game against the Rangers, he talked about stupid mistakes against Edmonton. He talked about it being the best game of the season. Here's his quote about the Philadelphia game. We played a mature game tonight. We didn't give up much to Philadelphia. We were just a bit unlucky, end quote. So that game, unlucky, in his evaluation.
All right. Well, Sunday, the Canadiens beat Edmonton 4-1. Tuesday, the Canadiens lost to Philadelphia 4-1. So Thursday, the Canadiens beat the Chicago Blackhawks, you guessed it, 4-1. Seems to be a theme this week.
And they also scored four goals in that that loss to New York. So
and that, yes, they did. So the number four keeps coming up an awful lot.
Jean Beliveau. Uh-huh.
Yes. Dobyš back in net. I'm liking the alternating Fowler, Dobyš, Fowler, Dobyš. Let's keep that going. Dobyš looking great in this one. Again, you can see his confidence starting to really solidify. Poor Owen Beck, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we should say luck was on the side of Zach Bolduc. He hadn't scored at the Bell Center, and so he got his first and second goals at the Bell Center. But Owen Beck, and nobody seems to know what happened. Everybody thought Owen Beck got the goal. It was credited to Dobson, but Beck, he pushed it across the line, but even in the review, they didn't change the goal. And Jakub Dobiš thought Owen Beck scored. Yeah. Owen Beck thought Owen Beck scored.
This would be his first NHL goal.
His first NHL goal. And Nick Suzuki thought that Owen Beck scored.
I'm starting to feel for Owen Beck.
Do they not give it to him?
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe they changed it after the game, but it was Dobson's until the end of the game. They
knocked the glove off. The puck.
Really?
They said that night.
I swear I watched him poke it, but
I think everyone saw that, but they seemed to think.
I mean, hopefully they get it right, no matter what, but yeah.
He still gets robbed to the moment, even if they give it to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean, feeling for the guy. I mean, he's had some. Yeah, goals called back, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. He's going to the right areas. He's getting chances. If they don't give it to him, I'm sure he's going to get one.
So, no, they even after review, they didn't give it to him. And we remember that what we all thought was his first NHL goal, and he celebrated as such, was waved off, Josh Anderson being offside prior to this one.
Yes, earlier this week.
So that was tough. You pointed out that even Jakub Dobiš thought that he had gotten his first goal.
After the Canadians had put out the video in the locker room after the game, Dobiš handing out the wolf hat for the player of the game.
And he had Dobiš, it was his responsibility because he had been the player of the game
the game prior.
Yeah.
So he, you know, confidently strides across the dressing room to, oh, giving this to Becker because it first NHL goal, and everyone kind of half-heartedly cheers, and Beck stands up and he's like, I didn't score the goal. And Dobiš is like, what? Oh, here you go, Gally. And he just gives it to Gallagher because he doesn't really know what to do at that point. Yeah, hopefully, maybe Saturday night's the night. Maybe Saturday night is the night for Owen Beck. Could one just stick? Because that kid's working his butt off to get one.
Yeah, he's been great.
So, your three stars this week? This had to have been not a difficult task this week because there were some pretty standout performances.
Yeah, it was hard to limit it. And certainly if Owen Beck had been credited with the goal that he scored, he would have made the list. The number one star for me this week was Lane Hutson. Seven assists, 7 points, and with Matheson missing some time, his ice time went up. So he was over 25 minutes average ice time this week.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Your second star is one of the goaltenders.
Jakub Dobiš, 2 starts, 2 wins. He faced 43 shots. He saved 41 of them. That's a 1.00 goals against and a 9.53 save percentage. He had a great week. And was it coincidence that Sam Montembeau was not around this week? We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. And the captain getting your third star accolade.
Nick Suzuki, 5 points in 4 games, 2 goals and 3 assists.
Who struggled this week?
I think anyone who watched, Jaden Struble's been in and out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. He went in the lineup, he certainly struggled. Yari Slavkovsky, I didn't like his game on Thursday night.
Yeah.
His defensive play was horrid. He looked to be just a step or two behind a little bit lazy, he can play much better than that.
You did have an honorable mention, though. You said it was hard to whittle down to just three. You did have an honorable mention.
That goes to Adam Engstrom, and that's not because of his goals or assists or any of that. He's up to averaging 14 minutes ice time. In fact, he played, I think it was over 15 minutes, which is a high for him against the Flyers, a career high for him against the Flyers. And he's a guy that doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't get rattled even when put in pressure situations. And his ability to so easily read the play in his first few games as an NHLer, talk about young players playing with maturity. That's Adam Engstrom. Yeah. He's been very, very good.
So through 34 games played, the Canadiens now have an 18-12-4 record. That's 40 points, second in the Atlantic, 11th in the NHL, currently sitting in a playoff spot, but it's right on the edge.
Well, according to Money Puck, it's a coin flip, 50-50, that they make the playoffs by the end of the season.
We'll see if they can continue what they've been doing this past week. All right, roster news. We'll start with the one you might not have heard of. Nick Suzuki and his wife, Caitlin, made a little announcement on Instagram that they Captain Suzuki is going to be Papa Suzuki in a few months.
Yeah, they're expecting a baby girl in the spring. That coming out on Instagram on Friday night. Apparently he didn't. Heed the advice from Jake Evans. Jake Evans had twins and has been adjusting to that change in his household. So playoff time, will there be a distraction in the Suzuki household?
Well, we'll see. We will have to see. Congratulations to them, though. We'll keep an eye on that in the coming months. So the big roster news kind of started earlier in the week on Tuesday when the Canadiens announced Sam Montembeau being sent down to the AHL to the Laval Rocket on a conditioning stint. Allegedly going to play two. Now, the Rocket had already left for their road trip to Cleveland, playing Thursday night and Saturday night in Cleveland. And so he joined them in Cleveland. And the idea would be that he'd get a couple of starts in Laval.
I've been calling for this for a while, that Sam Montembeau, I understand you might be worried if you put him on waivers and worried about losing him. But he had reached the status of being unplayable for the Montreal Canadiens, unplayable at the NHL level. He had to be sent down to Laval. And I had suggested a conditioning stint was a way of doing that. Conditioning stints, they can be a maximum of, I'm going to forget now, it's either 10 or 14 days. It doesn't matter he's only going to be there for the two games. He's supposed to rejoin the team in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that it takes the agreement of the player. Kent Hughes would have had to sit down with Montembeau and say, we want you to get your game back. We think the best way of doing that is playing a couple of games in Laval. And the Canadiens, the way they did this, and I guess, like I said, I've been saying this for a long time, but I guess they delayed it to the point where there's two games in Cleveland. The Monsters are not a very good team. They're in the bottom 10 teams of the AHL. There are away games. The Cleveland Monsters play in the Rocket Arena, which is...
It's an NBA arena, yeah.
Yeah, but it's called the Rock.
Well,
the
yeah.
Rocks. Yeah, yeah. But it's a big arena that certainly isn't filled and isn't as boisterous as Laval would be. So there's basically no pressure on Sam Montembeau. If he got the two starts Thursday and Saturday, we know he started on Thursday. We expect him to start Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Easy games for him, or they should be. because he hasn't played for a while. He hasn't played. His last start in Montreal was on December 2nd. That was a 5-2 loss to the Ottawa Senators. So this was a way, two things, I guess, helping him get his confidence back. And secondly, buying some time to figure out, what are we going to do? You know, can we send Fowler back? You know, Dobish has been great since Sam's been down. This was buying time and hopefully sparking something in Sam Ontembeau to get his game back on track.
We'll talk about him and his Laval stint a little bit more when we get to the Habs prospect report. Mike Matheson listed day-to-day with an upper body injury, so he missed the games against Philadelphia and Chicago, but he will be back in the lineup on Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, missed the games against Flyers and Chicago. He skated on his own. There was a group that skated on their own at Brossard on Friday. A good indication was Matheson joined the game day skate on Saturday. And then from the podium, Marty St. Louis said that Matheson will be in the lineup on Saturday night, taking the place of Jaden Struble, who will be a healthy scratch.
Mm-hmm. Kirby Dach and Caden Gooley also skated on Friday morning. Lina was there, not skating.
Well, he was on the ice, but not skating. He had shorts and flip-flops on, and he was basically stick handling a puck and just part of the group. But the Canadians, with respect to Dach and Gooley, the Canadians place Kirby Dach on LTIR, long-term injured reserve, retroactive to November 15th, and they placed Caden Gooley on LTIR, retroactive to October 16th. Now, why would they do that? Well, it's the Canadians prefer to keep their players, even when injured and injured for a period of time, off of LTIR because they can't accrue cap space for players that are on LTIR. So, but with an addition that they made on Friday night, they were facing being unable to be cap compliant. So they had to make those two moves to become cap compliant.
So why was that something that they needed to do? Well, we said this a couple of weeks ago. Make sure you keep your phone nearby on Friday nights this year. This week, it didn't help that the holiday trade freeze, roster freeze, went into effect at midnight Friday night. So there was a little flurry of activity on a Friday for that reason. But with all of the rumblings and grumblings around, looks like it came through. Canadians making a trade to basically reacquire Phil Deneau from the LA Kings on Friday night in exchange for the second round pick for the 2026 draft that they had gotten from Columbus.
Yeah. As you said, it just happened, hours before the trade deadline. The trade deadline's in effect from midnight December 20th all the way to December 27th.
The roster freeze, not the trade deadline, but
sorry, the Christmas roster freeze. Sorry, and so they made that move. Pierre LeBrun said, things heated up in the last couple of days. Kent Hughes said that he reached out to Ken Holland in Los Angeles and said, listen, I'm hearing these rumors that Deneau might be available. If he is, when he is, give me a call. That happened. The Canadians made the offer. The Canadians preferred not to give up a roster player. They had an extra second round pick. Now, I don't think this will be controversial, debatable. The Canadians overpaid for Phil Deneau, the Phil Deneau that that is coming back. Not the Phil Deneau that left the organization 5 years ago, but the Phil Deneau that's arriving this week. Mm-hmm. It's a second round pick's pretty steep for him. From the Canadiens' perspective, they had an extra one. It's likely that, well, we'll see. But the Columbus pick will likely be better than the Canadiens' second round. And so that's the one LA chose and they agreed on. Now, there's no salary retention at all by the Kings, which, you know, makes that pick a little bit steeper, mm-hmm. that price that they paid a little bit steeper. So Phil Deneau, the Canadiens are on the hook for the prorated $5.5 million that he makes. Of course, he's not earning his paycheck these days, and another $5.5 next year. Then Phil Deneau will be a free agent after the 2026-2027 season. He's 32 years old, and he's not going to be with the Canadiens for the next couple of games. Kent Hughes said he'll likely join the Habs in Boston next week.
So, in case you haven't been paying attention to Phil Deneau's play with the Kings this year, in the 30 games that he has played with LA, he has no goals and only 5 assists, which is why, you know, he obviously wasn't feeling very satisfied with how the year was going with LA. And so, as Rick has mentioned here in our show rundown, you know, 5 assists in 30 games is about a 13-point pace for the season. That's not great.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Deneau goes by many nicknames. Pizza Man's one. Philip Deneau Hands is another. His offense has completely disappeared, and which is kind of ironic because we remember that he considered himself an offensive player, and the reason he left Montreal is because he wanted a better offensive opportunity. And you know, why was Ken Holland willing to give him up? The Kings are looking for offense, getting nothing from Deneau in that department, and his defensive role has dramatically diminished. His penalty killing role was cut. That went to Quentin Byfield, Yoel Armia, and others. And down the middle, you know, Quentin Byfield is taking over. Alex Laferriere. Ken Holland said that they wanted to bring in some scoring being able to free up all of that cap room. Now they'll be able to go and do that, and they're not giving up anything because he wasn't providing any offense. His defensive role is covered by others. So they were happy to move on from Phil Deneau and find a willing partner like Kent Hughes.
That's right. So he won't be, as you said, he'll be a healthy, technically a healthy scratch because he's not even with the team yet.
And once he does come into the lineup, you can understand what Kent Hughes is looking at. Mm-hmm. Kent Hughes says that he hopes that Deneau can be re-energized. His quote was, he's not forgotten how to play hockey.
Right.
The Canadiens, with respect to their centers, they only have one left shot center in Veleno. Deneau would be their second. It was funny during the press conference. Hughes said, we got a lot of right-handed players. All summer, I kept telling the players, all left-handed players to practice their face-offs. And he said, Slav told me he's better than everyone except Jake Evans. But he said, that's in practice, not in games. And everybody laughs. So Deneau should help with the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. He'll be a help on the defensive side, mm-hmm. And a help on faceoffs for sure. And he'll probably end up on third or fourth line. We'll see how Marty Tins is going to use him.
That's right. Of course, that means to make room for him, someone has to come out of the lineup, and that turned out to be forward Jared Davidson, returned to Laval on Saturday morning so that they could be compliant with the roster limit of 23 players. Jared Davidson he actually played 10 games. He's been up with the Canadiens for a little bit now, played in 10 games, and he had an okay call up this time around.
He looked, I was worried a little about his foot speed, but he was in the right place at the right time. He was physical. He was standing up for teammates. He was getting close to 9 minutes average ice time when he was in the lineup. He sat for the healthy scratch the last four games, I believe. But he did not look out of place at all. And, if the need comes, I don't think, the Canadiens would hesitate to recall him later in the season.
No, I don't think so either. So as far as, lines for Saturday night's game, Matheson, as we mentioned, is back in the lineup, from his short, day-to-day injury. And we also do know that Jacob Fowler is going to start in goal versus the Penguins at the Bell Center.
It's a back-to-back. Then the Canadiens go to Pittsburgh and meet the Pens again on Sunday. We don't know yet. And like I say, maybe that depends on how Montembeau plays against the Cleveland Monsters on Saturday afternoon. We'll see how that all works out.
That's right. And speaking of that, why don't we check in on the Habs prospect report, and we can get in the midst of that, we can get an update on Laval and how Sam Montembeau is doing down there.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
I promise you this is not deja vu. I promise you that this is not a broken record. But we have to keep telling you about Bryce Pickford and Quentin Miller because they are just not quitting. Bryce Pickford playing, of course, in the CHL, playing for the Medicine Hat Tigers. We've talked about how, remember, this kid is a defenseman, and he's got a six-game goal-scoring streak going on right now.
The amazing thing, and yeah, in 31 games, he has 25 goals, 19 assists, 44 points. He's a plus 37. He's on pace for 50 goals, believe it or not.
Honestly.
And yes, he has a six-game goal-scoring streak. However, he had a five-game multi-goal streak going that came to an end. When he only scored one goal on Wednesday night. The previous five games, 11 goals he had picked up. Incredible. He's having an incredible season.
Absolutely. And so is Habs goaltending prospect Quentin Miller, because remember, he was the NCHC Goaltender of the Month in November. Last week, he was the NCHC Goaltender of the Week, and he has repeated that this week. He's once again the NCHC Goaltender of the Week for the second straight week.
Overall for the season, he's 11-5-1 with a 192 goals against, 931 save percentage, and a 3 shutouts. This week, a rare loss to St. Cloud State, but I'm sure he'll be on track. He might not be able to get a third goaltender of the week, but he's having a great season.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Checking in with the Laval Rocket, they had They had a tough game at home last Saturday against the Bridgeport Islanders. That would have been one I would have thought they would have come out on top, but they didn't. Bridgeport winning that one. Remember now, this is after Jacob Fowler had been recalled to Montreal. Hunter Jones, called up from Trois-Rivières, was the one in net. Will Dineen scoring the only goal for Laval, but a familiar name still around with an assist on that game-winning goal for Bridgeport.
Tight game. That was ended up being a 2-1 final for Bridgeport. The second Bridgeport goal, game-winning goal, the assist went to Chris Terry. You remember Chris Terry? Mm-hmm. Very effective when he was with the Habs affiliate years ago. Hunter Jones played really well, 34 saves for him in this game.
That then brought us to Thursday, which was the first of the two games Laval would play in Cleveland against the Monsters. Sam Montembeau, getting the start and goal, made 20 saves. And going into the third period, this game was tied 2-2. Joe Dunlap and Tyler Thorpe both scoring for Laval to keep things even. It was Thorpe's first goal of the season. And then things just completely devolved in the third period. Sam Montembeau gave up three more goals in that third period, and Laval lost to the Cleveland Monsters 5-2.
Yeah, this not just 20 saves for, as you said, for Montembeau. A couple of goals, I'd say, that he'd want back. And he wasn't facing elite shooters, as mm-hmm. I said, you know, Cleveland's not, they're in the bottom third of the league. It didn't quite go as everyone would have hoped.
The thing is, I had said this to you on Tuesday when they sent Montembeau down to Laval, and I looked at the schedule. I'm like, okay, where are they playing? Oh, they're playing in Cleveland, two games this week. Okay, that shouldn't be too tall of an order. And I said, what happens if he loses one or both games against Cleveland? Like, what? Didn't think it was going to happen, but what if? Well, and then he turns around and he loses the first game. They're just starting game two now, which we'll keep an eye on, but that starts to make things sticky.
Yeah, he gave up four goals in that first game to Cleveland, just 24 shots against. And yes, I mean, there's going to be people pointing to the fact that Laval was playing with a couple of players out due to the suspensions.
Their suspensions.
But, you know, not
tied.
Much of a roster on the other side of the ledger either. Yeah. So.
Not a good look. We'll see what happens in the rematch here Saturday matinee game. Laval has played 27 games this season. They are 17-9-0-1. That 35 points has them second in the North Division, sixth overall in the AHL. So prior to that loss, I believe there was last Saturday when we did the prospect report, they were sitting at fourth overall in the AHL. And first in the North. A team with that kind of record at that kind of standing should be able to beat the Cleveland Monsters. We understand roster turnover in the AHL massively changes every day, and so things can be really fluid game to game, but we'll see if they recover with their second matchup against Cleveland. That will be the last game that they play until after Christmas, until next weekend. So we'll see how that goes. And finally, just checking in on the Habs ECHL affiliate, the Trois-Rivières Lions, sixth in the North Division, 20th in the ECHL. Still doing okay. Could use a little bit of improvement in some places, but they're still kind of...
Speaking of call-ups, they've been the victim as well. With a lot of players going to Laval.
That's right. All right, so just to wrap up this first segment, give you a couple of notes from around the league. The Edmonton Oilers placed goaltender Tristan Jarry on IR and had to recall Connor Ingram from the Bakersfield Condors. That didn't last long.
Yeah, I thought they solved their goaltending issues.
Apparently not.
Now there's the Canadians have an extra. If that would be a tough sell. If somehow Kent Hughes could convince the Oilers to take Sam Montembeau, that would be the ultimate. I'd praise him every day, every podcast. I hear that they're taking a look at Alex Lyon now. As a potential savior for them.
All right, we will see. The Columbus Blue Jackets also making a trade before the roster freeze, acquiring veteran left winger Mason Marchman in a trade with the Seattle Kraken in exchange for the Rangers' fourth round pick in the 2026 draft and the Blue Jackets' own 2027 second round pick.
Yeah, second and fourth for Marchman. He's a tough customer. He's a rugged winger. And Seattle kind of disappearing in the playoff race. So they took advantage of the opportunity to get rid of a veteran prior to the Christmas trade freeze.
We'll see in a week once that trade freeze, the roster freeze lifts. If the trade market doesn't start to heat up even more significantly as we then inch closer to the trade deadline. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. You're going to hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings with a special incentive for all of our Canadians Connection and the Hockey Podcast Network listeners and viewers. And when we come back, we are tackling our big topic. The Canadians have turned their attention to improving the team defense. And we're going to break down and give you some very specific examples on how that new identity is starting to take shape. You are not going to want to miss it. So stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown. With Pick 6, DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. You pick more or less on two or more player stats. And the better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited, one per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like to follow me over on X, you're welcome to do that. My handle there is at Flyers Rule. With me, of course, once again, is our president and founder here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. You absolutely want to follow him on X. You can find him at Rocket Sports. That is our main account that he runs. With all of the links to content that we have on all platforms, Habs coverage, Laval coverage, ECHL coverage, news and updates. It's the place to follow our team for everything that's related to the Montreal Canadiens organization. And of course, you can follow this podcast specifically on X, Facebook, or Instagram. The handle is at Habs Connection, you know, Canadiens Connection Podcast, at Habs Connection. And just a reminder, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you tap subscribe to the podcast. You never want to miss a single weekly episode. You can also subscribe over on our YouTube channel as well. That is insidethecanadians.com. All right, so Canadians have turned their attention to improving the team defense. And so how do we want to talk about that today? Why was this the theme that we were going to focus on? Well, when we talk about defense in hockey, a lot of people immediately think about defensemen, the blue liners. But defense isn't really owned by that singular position. It's kind of a chain. It's a chain of events across the entirety of the ice, from the forwards all the way back to the goaltenders and actually some coaching as well. One of those, when if any of those links in the chain breaks, the weaknesses in the other areas of the chain get really exposed. And so we've seen that happen a little bit with the Canadians recently. And today we're going to look at how the Canadians' defense is starting to change from three different angles. You know, the defense through goaltending. We're gonna look a little bit at Jakub Dobish. The defense through the actual blue line. There is a young defenseman that we're going to focus on who's really coming along and could be a blue liner to really watch. And the defense from up front, particularly with the addition of forward Phil Deneau coming back into the fold. Because honestly, if the team is going to stabilize like they have started to a little bit this week, if they're going to crawl back into the standings in a way that they're not sitting 50-50, according to Money Puck, that they might make the playoffs or not, they can't just fix one thing. They have to fix multiple things. And it's going to be how they fix multiple things and how those layers all work together. It's not a question of just who is defending well. It's a question of where is the team succeeding in actually protecting and where are they actually still vulnerable? So that's what we want to dig into today. Do we start with the forward? Let's start with the forwards and go back towards the crease.
And I think it was the forwards that were getting, well, also the goaltending, but it was the forwards that were getting a lot of attention this week in the Oilers game, which Marty St. Louis called it their best complete game of the season. Mm-hmm. And the defensive effort, particularly by everybody was giving Jake Evans props after the Jake Evans line with Texier and Anderson props after this game, because it was just a monster game for that line in shutting down the Oilers. And then it got to, you know, what was happening on defense and Jakub Dobish in goal for sure. But it's up front. How do you play defense in the National Hockey League? Well, it includes forechecking. It includes killing plays in the neutral zone and then defensive zone coverage. But the forwards can play a role in all of that.
Absolutely. And adding Phil Deneau this week certainly points in that direction, because they absolutely didn't acquire Phil Deneau for his offensive prowess. That's not on the table, not for Phil Deneau so far this year. Maybe a change of scenery can help reignite that a little bit. But right now, Phil Deneau is going to be a key factor in helping to shore up the defensive side of Montreal's game.
And that should be obvious if you've watched it. Not necessarily when you think about Phil Deneau that was with the Montreal Canadiens 5 years ago, but if you've watched him lately with the Kings and the kind of role that he plays, it should be obvious that his offensive has dried up and that for him to be effective, he has to play a strong defensive game. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions, even after you consider that, we turn to Marty St. Louis, who today said, quote, "Phil will play a defensive role for us." That couldn't be more plainer okay. than that. How exactly? Marty's asking himself the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet, but I expect him to play a defensive role in case you didn't get it the first time and bring leadership.
Okay. Jake Evans also had some comments about the addition of Phil Deneau, saying, quote, he's a complete player. He's strong defensively. He has a good stick. He excels on faceoffs, and he's a smart player. He's someone every team would love to add to their roster. He'll help us on the penalty kill and adds a lot of depth to our team. So once again, we're already hearing a player echoing. They're not saying he's a sniper. He's got great hands. He's a pure goal scorer. That's not what they're saying. They're talking about those other little areas that all require puck protection and goal protection when they're talking about Phil Deneau.
And penalty kill is an area where, we've said it before, the Canadians really struggle. They're about 25th in the NHL in the penalty kill department. And they need to be a good penalty killing team because they take a lot of minor penalties. I believe they're second to the Bruins in terms of teams who take the most minor penalties. Mm-hmm. And it's an area that Marty St. Louis, the discipline aspect, he could change that statistic immediately, but he doesn't seem to want to. The number of penalties taken by the Canadians has only increased since Marty St. Louis has been behind the bench, and we've heard that the Laval Rocket play the same way, the same style, trying to have the same identity as the Canadians. And if you want an idea of what Marty St. Louis thinks about penalties, maybe Pascal Vincent has the answer to what Marty thinks. And when he was asked about cracking down and trying to reduce the number of penalties that the Rocket take, he said, no, I don't want to change their identity. I don't want to intervene I'd like fewer penalties, but I'm not going to get into that. Mm-hmm. So perhaps, and we're just inferring here, Marty has the same sort of view about penalties, and therefore you need a strong penalty kill.
Brendan Gallagher was asked, Brendan Gallagher has played with Phil Deneau, and he was asked what his thoughts were on the return of his former teammate.
Yeah, it's nice to have Phil back. Obviously a lot of good years with Phil, and he knows what it means to be a Montreal Canadian, so excited to be different for him. There's a lot of changes around here since he left, so when he gets here, I'm sure he'll fit right in.
Did you have a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit last night. He's obviously very excited. It's been a little bit frustrating here for him, but he, for the most part went to LA, had a lot of success, did the same thing he always did for us here, and we know his game, so he'll fit in nicely, and obviously looking forward to welcome him.
Really interesting, because the Gallagher went on. Gallagher kept stressing how things, the media kept saying, oh, he'll just slide right in and just play like he's always played. And Gallagher has corrected them a couple of times, saying, wait a minute, things have changed around here. The players have changed. The coaching staff has changed. The systems have changed. Both Gallagher and Evans said, he's going to take some time to transition, but he's a smart player and he should be able to do that. But I think they've both advised him he's not going to be playing the same kind of game that he played 5 years ago when he left the Canadians, that there's been a lot of changes in that time.
And I think, it'll be interesting to see how he's deployed once he finally does make it into the lineup, probably next week. But, perhaps having, can young players like Juraj Slafkovský, who has had some trouble with their defensive game over the past week or so, can they pick up some things from a guy like Phil Deneau being on the roster? That will, time will tell with that, but those could also be the other advantages to having someone like Phil Deneau back in the lineup. So
clear that Phil Deneau is going to play center. Mm-hmm. Is he going to play as a second line center with Demidov? No, I don't think so. You're not going to want to put in a guy who kills offense with Slavkov. So, well, Kapanen and Demidov, that combination has been great, and Slavkovsky has added to that line. We said before about Evans and how good he's been with Anderson and Texier. Does he fit on the fourth line with Gallagher? That might mean Beck, who's been tremendous going back to Laval. And so he could play with Gallagher and Valeno. Is that a good introductory point for Phil Deneau? Maybe we'll have to see. And that sounds like it's going to happen Tuesday at the earliest.
It does. So looking forward to seeing what his addition does on the forward core for the defensive, that 200-foot game for the forwards. Now, once you take another step back onto the ice to the actual defensive core, we have to talk about, and you alluded to this in the first segment, he was your honorable mention, we have to talk about the decision. We just talked about the decision to bring Phil Deneau into the fold. Now we have to talk about the decision to have increased usage of Adam Engstrom, because this is going to significantly play an impact on the team's overall defense right now.
For sure. Adam Engstrom has been great. He's an NHL capable defenseman. Mm-hmm. He's a great skater, moves the puck well. As I said, he's calm. He doesn't panic. Even when he's in sticky situations, he doesn't turn over the puck. He's been not overly physical. He can contribute to the offense. Hasn't done that just yet, but he's been very good. He's been better than Struble. He's been better than Jacki. He's been better than Carrier. And some have called him a Mike Matheson light, and maybe with the potential to exceed Mike Matheson. And that's based on his ability to move the puck and being such a good skater. I think he's got better hockey sense and is more risk adverse than Matheson is. So we'll see. He's been so good. He's been so good that all of the Matheson apologists and defenders in the mainstream media have been suggesting this week, found it interesting, that Engstrom should be a trade chip. We got to get him out of here. He's too good. He's going to threaten Mike Matheson's position. Oh, my goodness.
God forbid.
He's been that good. Marty St. Louis has loved the play of Engstrom. There's been defensemen rotating in and out, Jacki and Struble, but one constant has been Adam Engstrom. He's stayed in the lineup. Marty says, that you can never have too many defensemen who are good skaters and can play well at both ends of the ice. Hmm. Not naming him, but he was referring to Adam Engstrom. Lane Hudson said he reads the game really well. His game has a certain simplicity, but he has a bit of offensive flair and a good shot. He's a really complete player. He's been welcomed, and all the players are appreciating the way he's been. Maybe a little bit of a surprise to a struggling defense. Adam Engstrom has been the guy who stepped in and been the guy that Marty is confident to play every single game.
And as he is trusted with a bit more responsibility, given increased ice time, and settling into a kind of a new look of a role for him, Adam Engstrom's confidence is certainly settling in right alongside it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, as you said, I feel like I'm getting more comfortable, more confident for every game that goes. And yeah, feels better every game, handling the puck better, making some good plays, and yeah, playing good defense. So yeah, just going to try and keep going with that.
He sounds confident.
He does.
and he should, because he's been playing really well. Now, you acknowledge that he's getting sheltered minutes at this point, but his responsibilities and playing over 15 minutes, you can't shelter him all the time, and mm-hmm. his role has certainly grown.
Now, the third aspect of this new focus on the defensive part of the team's identity that's now come into the spotlight is, of course, in the crease. The crease, right out of the gate this year, all of a sudden, very, very, very brightly became a bad spotlight for the Canadiens. Sam Montembeau was basically the crux of all of that. And then, you know, while the Canadiens tried to figure out for the first couple of months, could he find what was wrong? Could he right the ship in time? Let's give Dobish some time. But, oh, too much pressure and not playing people consistently. You know, we saw Dobish's confidence get a little shaken. And when in a young goaltender, that's not ever the right prescription for them. So finally, everything came to a head this week when Sam Montembeau was sent to Laval, as we spoke about in the first segment, which was the correct move. That also was on the heels of Jacob Fowler being recalled, which we talked about this last week. You know, what is this was now a new problem. OK, you've got three goaltenders up in the NHL now. What are you going to do, Kent Hughes? What are you going to do, Marty? Who is the one who's going to budge? And, you know, without wrecking Fowler's development, without wrecking Dobish's development. And so they answered that question, did the right thing, sent Montembeau down to Laval for a conditioning stint. For Jakub Dobish, in case you didn't know that this kid is unflappable, listen to him answer this question from a reporter earlier this week. I believe this was after the Edmonton game. And you're going to hear a reporter ask him if Jacob Fowler getting called up, he's basically asking him, did you feel threatened by that without saying so many words?
Did you feel added pressure coming into this game just with what's been happening, with Fowler getting called up?
That's just you guys mm-hmm. that put the pressure on people. I don't put any pressure on me. I just do my job, and I don't listen to anything. And if you don't listen to you guys, it will be just fine.
So, is it good to have internal competition?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a great kid, great goalie. It's healthy. Everything inside of this locker room is healthy. As I said, you try to not listen to people outside. You try to have family. This is my second family, and that's all kind of matters. So,
brilliant
if
answer.
If you don't listen to you guys, you'll be fine.
But listen, put this in a capsule and uh-huh. hand it out to the media, and they should study this because they don't understand how a player's mind works, how a goaltender's mind works. They just assume and they put themselves in the situation and they don't get mm-hmm. That Dobish doesn't feel threatened. He welcomes a player like Fowler. And he's a good kid. He's a good goaltender. He's a good partner to have. And Dobish wants good teammates. He likes the teammates that he has. He likes playing on this team. It's not the bitter, cutthroat kind of attitude that the media kind of expect and infer. It was a brilliant answer, an honest answer, an open answer, one you don't quite hear often enough. And I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. What causes concern for goaltenders? Well, let's go back to Sam Montembeau for a minute. I said earlier that Sam Montembeau's last game was December 9th. I said earlier that his last start was December 2nd against Ottawa, allowed 5 goals on 29 shots, .828 save percentage. His last action was when he came in for Dobish, and that was December 9th against Tampa. And Sam Montembeau was awful when he came in. 3 goals on 13 shots, .769 save percentage. There's a lot in the media that have tried to portray this as two struggling goaltenders in Montreal. And it's just false. It's just silly. Sam Montembeau has 5 wins. Jakub Dobyš has 12. 12 of the Canadiens' mm-hmm. wins. Jakub Dobyš had some struggles, but he didn't have struggle with structure or technical issues or any of that. His struggles were created by the coaching staff, a head coach who has admitted he doesn't have a clue about how to manage goaltenders. And it appears that the goaltending coach doesn't have a clue of how to effectively communicate to the head coach about the needs and how to motivate and instill confidence in their goaltenders. So yeah, there was a bit of a crisis of confidence from Dobyš when the team, the coaching staff, put a halt to his winning streak and made him question himself. But talking about, you know, having a goaltender partner that can be relied on. Mm-hmm. And Jakub Dobyš could not rely on Sam Montembeau at all. As we said, Sam Montembeau was unplayable, and that's happened not recently. He's been bad since training camp. Do we have any history? Do we have any history from Jakub Dobyš to educate us here? Well, if you think about the Laval Rockets season, the 2023-2024 season, there was a goalie tandem of Jakub Dobyš and Strauss Mann in Laval. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the season, Strauss Mann, who is the veteran, couldn't stop a beach ball, as they say.
No.
He was awful.
Terrible.
Just awful. He had... and Jakub Dobyš, he was off to a good start, but he never knew, he didn't have the predictability of when he was going to be going in the net. He kept having to go in as relief for mm-hmm. Strauss Mann. And this was the season where Jakub Dobyš had 24 wins. He started a remarkable 51 games for a rookie. That was his rookie season in the AHL, mm-hmm. 51 games, and did very, very well. But not until the Laval Rocket went out and got a capable backup, and that was Kasimir Kaskasuo. Was Kaskasuo lights? No, he wasn't. But he had a winning record. He had a decent goals against. A decent save percentage. And when he played every, you know, third game or fourth game or whatever it was, Jakub Dobyš knew that he was going to have a night off. He wasn't going to be tossed into playing. So the same situation has cropped up here where now Fowler has been decent. He had a great debut and he's been... you know, he's had some mistakes. Players have played with mistakes in front of him, but Dobyš hasn't had to go in to bail out Jacob Fowler. And that stability and that predictability is what goaltenders really want.
Absolutely. And it gives them, when they can actually take a breath, you want to talk about pressure. You know, the reporter's asking, did you feel pressure with Fowler getting called up? Maybe the question should have been, do you feel a relief of pressure now that Sam Montembeau has been sent down to Laval for a conditioning stint? Is there less pressure now on you now that Jacob Fowler has been called up? Because that's more likely the reality. That not saying that Jakub Dobyš was wishing Sam Montembeau to go away, but knowing that, A, you don't have the uncertainty of 3 goaltenders up, so who's playing, who's backing up, who's dressing, who's sitting, who's not, but also, okay, right now, it's me and it's Jacob Fowler. And we've seen that they have alternated them every game. There's predictability, there's a routine that gets established. the Canadians, the rest of the team in front of them, know that some big changes have been made. There's a shakeup in the net, so they will play, you know, they're going to step up their game in front of two young goaltenders, which helps them relax and settle in and just focus on what they need to do in the crease. All of this, we've seen the positive effects of it this week. As you said, Jacob Fowler, has he made a couple of mistakes this week? Sure, but he's young. He's not even, you can count on one hand how many NHL games this kid has played. Not worried about him at all. But you have seen the resurgence of Jakub Dobish this week. And I think that is the bigger key point in Sam Montembeault getting sent to Laval.
Talking about the Montreal media, and I hate to keep jumping on them, but the not getting it, Sam Montembeault was asked if he's still thinking about the Olympics this past week. And one of them speculated that maybe once Team Canada announces the Olympic roster, that Olympic, nod won't be hanging over Sam Montembeault's head, and he'll be better once the Team Canada is announced. I mean, honestly, for Sam
Montembeault knows that he's not going to the Olympics.
No, he knows. And listen, I talked about this with one of the Rocket Sports contributors this week. What's wrong with Sam Montembeault? We don't know. He says it has nothing to do with his injury. He's feeling fine. I'll speculate. I think that, he was injured at the end of the season, the playoffs against the Capitals. And it took him a bit to get back on the ice and get to his training. We know that Sam Montembeault isn't the best conditioned athlete. We know he's not terribly athletic in the crease. When he arrived, when he was plucked off waivers, he was a bit slow in the net. So one of the first things that the goaltending coach did was move him back in the crease, so he'd have less distance to travel. But then that opened him up to shots. High shots, shots from distance, that sort of thing, that he wasn't out cutting off the angle. I think that he slowed down even more because of the lack of training in the summer. And he's really, really struggled, not only confidence-wise, but technically. Can you get that back in practice time? Can you get that back in a couple of games in the AHL? Well, we're going to find that out. And we heard Kent Hughes say, we don't know, is Sam Montembeault going to be back to form in a few days, in a few weeks, in a month? We don't know. We're going to have to see. So you got to hope, you got to think that they're working through some contingency plans.
I will also say that there's 4 minutes left in the first period for that second Laval-Cleveland game, and the Monsters are up 1-0.
Okay.
And that's my next nail-biter. Regardless of whether or not Sam Montembeault and the Laval Rocket can win at least one of these two games against Cleveland, or if they end up losing both of these games, what then happens after that? Because I think you've got a good thing right now with Dobish and Fowler. What do you do with Sam Montembeault at that point? Do you disrupt the apple cart? What's the decision that gets to be made? And that's going to be the next, as I say, that's the next nail biter, is what happens next week? What happens with Sam Montembeault next week? What happens with Jakub Dobish? What happens with Jacob Fowler? And that's something, those are going to be some crucial, crucial decisions that Kent Hughes, Jeff Gorton need to sit down and hammer out sooner rather than later.
And ideally, we've said it before, ideally, you have Jacob Fowler go back to Laval. Ideally, Sam Montembeault becomes the backup and is able to handle a backup load, and the Canadians and the coaching staff can be confident when he's out there. Ideally, all of that happens. We'll see what we'll see how it all plays out.
We'll see what happens. And so that brings us to the fourth and final aspect of this shift in identity and shift in focus to the defensive part of the Montreal Canadiens game, and that is coaching. Because coaching obviously has a big effect on how the team defends as well. And this is the one area of those, of all four areas, that not the needle didn't move at all on this at all this week.
Yeah, and when we talk about coaching, it's not just we're talking about Marty here. Although, you know, there's been some issues. You know, do the Canadiens play man to man? Do they play a hybrid zone? Does the system that's prescribed, do the Canadiens players understand it? There seems to be a lot of confusion at times. You know, is there a debate? It seems to be a debate between the Gorton Hughes view, where you need big players, you need a physical defense. Caden, we've said it 1,000 times. I have. Caden Gooley's the only player only defenseman who fits that role. Marty seems to have the belief that you don't play a good defense, never plays in its own zone. You just move the puck out, and that's how he designs his defense. Size versus mobility, that's that sort of issue. I think everybody's got to get on the same page. Maybe Stefan Robidas needs some help. Maybe, you know, Daniel Jacobs done a good job. Pascal Vincent's done a good job. Maybe there has to be some tweaks to the system or some help in terms of personnel with respect to coaching the defensive game.
It's been an interesting week, that is for sure. And now we get to look to see what these, some small changes, some big changes, what kind of effect that has on the Canadiens' defensive game, and whether or not we see some market improvements in the next week to 2 weeks. And we're going to get our first look at that Saturday night and Sunday, and then, of course, really get a look at how things might start to look different once Phil Deneau cracks the lineup next week. So our Canadiens Connection question of the week for you this week is, where do you think Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes should look to upgrade the Canadiens' defensive game next? Does it need to be another element in the forwards, on defense, in goal, or coaching? Where should Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes look to upgrade the Canadiens' defensive game next? Forwards, defense, goaltending, or coaching? Send us your replies. Text them in at the Rocket Sports text line, 5853 Rocket. Drop us a comment on YouTube over at InsideTheCanadiens.com. Drop us a comment on Spotify, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. As we do each and every week, we will take the very best responses that we receive and read them on next week's show. So make sure you get your answers in right away. Great segment, great topic, really excited to see where things go from here. We are going to take our second break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. Our sponsors, our friends over at Rakuten.ca, have a great incentive for all of our Canadian listeners. And so you want to check that out. And when we come back, we're letting you have your say. We've got some great responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, like Adidas, Levi's, Old Navy, Lenovo, LG, Sephora, Best Buy, Dyson, or Lego, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can choose to get paid via Interac e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.ca. download the app, or install the browser extension. That's RAKUTEN. Terms and conditions apply. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. If you have not subscribed to the podcast already, please make sure that you do that. We never want you to miss a single episode. We'll be here through the holidays. We're here all summer long and during the off season. We don't go away here at the Canadians Connection podcast because we know hockey news and Montreal Canadiens news happens 365 days a year. So 52 weeks of the year. You'll find us here. Be sure you're subscribed. If you are listening on a platform or watching on YouTube where you're able to leave a review or tap the like button, we so appreciate if you could do that. It certainly helps us and be able to increase our visibility to audiences across all platforms. And if you're on a platform where you can leave a comment, that would be like Spotify or on YouTube. We would love if you'd leave a comment. Let us know what you love about the show. Answer the Canadians Connection question of the week. And also be sure to hit that share button. Any platform that you're listening or watching, hit that share button and share this episode with your social media followers. Also be sure you're checking out our written content over at hockeyhotstove.com. You'll go to hockeyhotstove.com, tap the Canadians logo, and that will take you to our written content and coverage. You'll find a great weekly article from my wonderful colleague Chris G, who will always bring you some great information about the Habs, about the Rocket, and so check that out for sure. And hit up the forum while you're over there as well. That's where Habs fans gather, chat, debate. It's pretty fun. Don't forget to get in your answers to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Where should Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes look to upgrade the Canadians defensive game next? The forwards, the defense, in goal, or with coaching? Can't wait to hear what you have to come up with for that one. Now, last week we said, we just mentioned this, that we talked about you know, what to do with Fowler once they had three goaltenders in the NHL. And we said for the Canadians Connection question of the week last week, what is the bigger risk right now for the Canadians? Damaging Fowler's development or continuing to lose credibility overall with the current roster and the coaching staff? And we had some opinions on this. Rick, you had a couple of replies that came in on Twitter, on X.
Yeah, this is, let me see, we'll pick here. This is at Propa613. I'm guessing that that's the 613 refers to his or her area code, which is the Ottawa area, Ottawa, Belleville, Kingston, that area. Propa613 says, Montembeau is finished, exclamation. I can't see him coming back to the Habs. Chris, who you just mentioned, said, well, he's due back on, the Canadians say he's due back on Sunday. And Propa said, the Canadians don't always do everything that they say they're going to do, which
touché.
Is true. Yeah, it's true.
Touché.
The next one is also about Sam Montembeau. And this one comes from Darren. It's at Darren Callahan 2. And he's talking about how Sam Montembeau looked in his first AHL start against the Cleveland Monsters. And Darren says that first goal of the clip, Monty moved like he was a skater pressed into duty to play goal. He seems so robotic. If anything, isn't it how he originally read it and has no ability to react? So talking about his questionable reads, which we also saw at the NHL level, having similar problems in the AHL.
Over on YouTube, we hear from at Center Heist 7948. He says, great episode, Amy and Rocket Stevens. Missed you both. We missed your comments as well, Center Heiss. He goes on to say, sorry, I have been very intensely busy with my outreach event for homeless coming up on December 20th and 21st, the 2025 Christmas donation delivery event. So it's kept me extremely busy down here in Nova Scotia. Sorry, it's been very necessary that this had my full attention to put some smiles on some folks' faces this Christmas season. Hot meals and clothing for them, as everyone should have a roof over their head and a hot turkey dinner.
Lovely sentiment. Yes. And okay, you're excused.
You are excused, and kudos to you for...
Yeah, well, that's nice.
Absolutely, for taking up such a wonderful initiative. And I'm sure the people whose lives you touched with this initiative this weekend are going to be very grateful for it. Center Heist goes on to say, so now, best way I can answer this week's question is truly that I've thought for some time now, the Habs need a huge upgrade in the defensive coaching and goaltending coaching departments. Majority lacking experience there. Needs to be addressed sooner than later, and I don't think it was bad to get a look at Fowler just to see where he's at in development, but I wouldn't keep him there for long. I think maybe next season for him. But I just hope Marty learned a lesson from this. He should have ridden Dobish when he was hot instead of just concerning himself on getting Monty going. He should have known to run with the hot goalie at that point, but he didn't. Then he ended up screwing Dobish up, and then he went cold too. But this clearly shows who's the future tandem, Fowler and Dobish. Any wise hockey mind could see that Monty wasn't for long term. But I would take my chances and either send Monty to Laval, there you go, or trade him. The ship has sailed on him. That window's over or close to being over. Same as those coaches I mentioned. They do that, we may have some success. But I wouldn't rush Fowler unless he proves to be ready. We have to be a little cautious not to rush it. Keep the great shows coming. I'll be able to watch a little closer again once this event is over. Miss you both. Take care. Thank you so much, Center Height. What a great response.
Wow.
What a great comment.
Love all the points that he made in there. And I agree with him on everything that he said. 100%.
A plus.
Really well done.
No coal in your stocking for sure. And then at Frank Huber 9912 says, hey, when I said more slap chop, I didn't mean to know. This refers to his comment from last week where he equates Lane Hutson with the slap chop. He says, when I said more slap chop, I didn't mean to know. And Fowler needs to play in the NHL. Oh, by the way, I hear Edmonton is looking for a goalie.
Again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you as well, Frank Huber 9912. We love hearing from all of you. You've all got such great minds, great opinions. You defend your thoughts very well. Keep them coming in. If you've never commented before, make this week the first time that you do. You won't regret it. It's fun to be able to share everyone else. You know, you guys, you tune in and you listen to Rick and I every week. But we love to hear, and we know that all of you love to hear, what other fans think as well. So send in those answers as you get ready for three games this week prior to Christmas. Pittsburgh will be in Montreal Saturday night. Then Montreal, it's a back-to-back home and home because Montreal then heads to Pittsburgh to take on the Penguins on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And then the final game before Christmas is Tuesday night in Boston. The Montreal Canadiens taking on the Boston Bruins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Whew, it's bound to be good. Then the next time we all get together will be next Saturday, December 27th for the next episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast. So once again, Merry Christmas to you, Rick, and to all of our listeners and viewers out there. We are wishing you such a wonderful, beautiful holiday season. It's sure to be a good one.
Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, all of our viewers, all of the families out there, my own family and yours. Mm-hmm. Just have a safe and enjoyable holiday season.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we'll see you again next Saturday right here for another edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.